Thank you, Pastor Chris. Just half the church? That's all I made happy so far. Well, hopefully, okay. Well, you know, the Eagles aren't the Ravens, so I can certainly live with that. Hi, everyone. I'm Pastor Casey, like Pastor Chris said, and she was part of the ministry board who examined me, and I met her at Mac Weekend, and it was great. Now, if I was really thinking ahead, what I would have done is gotten, there's a recent picture of Chris in her hockey gear, but I missed that opportunity, so we won't have that today. But in the past three weeks, and I've been listening to the sermons online, Pastor Chris, she's been walking you through conflict. So, you know, speaking of hockey, I was thinking, well, how appropriate for you to address conflict. You're probably, you know, well-versed at that. There's sometimes a little bit of conflict in hockey. I guess it's part of the game. But then you brought it in. We're working through Matthew 18, where Jesus gives them some guidelines. When we take our conflict and we look within the church and how we can relate to each other individually. And I love it that your summer book club, you're reading that book, Love Over Fear, you know, and certainly that helps us when there's this polarization in the world too. So today we're going to cap off the series. We're going to look at some examples in Acts chapter 15, some conflicts that arose more, I'm going to call it institutionally, with the early church. But I think there's still some great things that we can learn as individuals from these examples. So let's see what we can learn from this passage and see how we can apply these principles in our own lives and relationships and in serving Jesus. But first, a little story to introduce the passage. This is the story of Twitter and two strong co-founders. You have Jack Dorsey and Evan Williams. They started Twitter in 2006. Maybe some of you have heard of Twitter. It's now called X. But they started the company. They had a shared vision. They rallied their software engineers, and they built this great service, you know, and if you use Twitter, now X, I don't know if they still call them tweets, you know, tweet, 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 elite, you know, I don't know what X calls it right now. And it's an application, a social media application that a lot of people used. Well, everything was going great, but then they came to a point in 2010 where they just had different visions of where to go with the company. And it was severe enough that they decided, you know, we really need to part ways. And so that's what they did. Another person took over as CEO. And then one of them created a company called Medium, then another one called Square. But sometimes that happens, right? You have two leaders, you have organizations within organizations that are rowing in the same direction until there's a major decision that needs to be made, and they can't move forward, and it may get into a heated conversation. So how do you productively move forward without destroying the work that you just did? And, you know, sometimes it means that to continue on in a civil way, you have to separate. So with that real-life situation of Twitter, I thought, you know, this mirrors the story of Paul and Barnabas a little bit in Acts 15, when they had a sharp disagreement that led to their separation. And just like them, just like Paul and Barnabas, it doesn't mean the end of the world. You can still do some good things. And it's just, when you get into large organizations, sometimes it's hard for type A individuals to come together when they're starting a work, because each of them has a strong vision. Well, we can look at this in the church. Could we go to the previous slide? Yeah, thank you. So sometimes this happens in the church, right? So the reason that Pastor Chris has been leading you through Matthew 18 is so we don't do this. You know, we kind of whack each other over the head and bludgeon each other with the, you know, the truth that we have. So when these things come up, there's ways we can handle it. You've been looking at Matthew 18 today. Let's look at what happens more at an institutional level, maybe from X. We can go to the next slide now. Jake, thanks. So in Acts chapter 15, it's in your bulletin. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to that as well. we're going to read verses 30 to 41. And I know that we're online as well. If it's okay, Pastor Chris, may I ask everyone if you are able to read to stand for the reading of God's word? Thank you. So this is from the NIV. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. Actually, let me go back to 30. So the men were sent off and went down to Antioch, where they gathered the church together and delivered the letter. The people read it and were glad for its encouraging message. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers. After spending some time there, they were sent off by the believers with the blessing of peace to return to those who had sent them. And Silas remained in Antioch. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement, they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. All right. So, a little bit of exegesis, just a little bit, not a whole lot, but where is this taking place? So when we start reading these verses, we are in Antioch. Actually, at the beginning of Acts, it starts off in Antioch. Of course, Paul and Barnabas are preaching, and they're taking the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, we have a lot of Jewish believers that grew up under the Jewish faith. The Gentile believers, however, most of them didn't grow up under the Jewish faith. They grew up under other pagan religions. So a lot of the groups of the Jewish Christians said, "Great, I'm glad you're saved, but now you need to follow our laws, the law of Moses. You need to get circumcised. You need to do all these things." And Paul and Barnabas were basically saying, you know, whoa, 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 hold on, no. We're in a new covenant. That's another sermon for another time. That's, the theology of the law of Moses was superseded with, when Jesus came and atoned for our sins, right? We live under a new covenant. So that's where Paul and Barnabas were coming from. So the debate was taken back to the church fathers in Jerusalem. And so before reading these verses, there's a discussion. Even Peter joined with Paul and Barnabas, saying, well, we can't levy this on the Gentile believers. And so there was an internal conflict, but they resolved it, and they wrote a letter to the Gentile believers saying, hey, just, follow these rules. Don't do what you used to do, eating to idols and things like that, and you'll be fine. That's where we pick up with the verses in verse 30. And so they're, so they came back to Antioch, and it was great. Everybody was really getting along, and they got along great. And so this is to kind of show what this relationship might have looked like in more of a contemporary setting. What I want to illustrate for you is maybe we're looking at this is sort of like a modern day company. So we have a lot of old companies, blue chip companies, right? And they have a traditional market, and maybe they are grappling with a shift to a new market. So similar to the early church, we're no longer under the Mosaic law. Now we're following the new covenant. So how do we talk to our new converts? Well, let's say this company may be led by two older executives. We'll call them Rachel and Stephen. And then there's two younger executives, Emily and Michael, who want to take the company in a little bit of a different direction. So now we have some conflict at the highest levels within this company. And both of those groups are vying to influence the board of directors. So Rachel and Stephen, the veteran executives who have been with the company for a long time, they grew up under what worked in the traditional old market. And so they're reluctant to let go of that old business model that served the company well. They've seen it work. On the other hand, Emily and Michael, the emerging executives, they're looking at the markets and saying, well, if the company is really going to thrive in the future, then we need to shift this. We need a strategic shift towards a new market segment, and this will help us grow and be more innovative and be more competitive for the field. So they advocate for a revamped business plan. The disagreement, unfortunately, within the company between these two groups led to tensions within the company's leadership team, with conflicting views on where do we take the company. So, you have the one team that's saying, no, let's preserve the company's legacy and core strengths. The other team who's saying, let's innovate and go into new markets. So the board of directors and corporate leadership team realized the importance of resolving this conflict so it didn't flow to the rest of the employees. So they engaged in constructive dialogue, exchanged ideas, they looked at data and market research, and they even brought in some of the employees to inform their decision making. So through collaborative efforts, mutual respect, and shared commitment to the company's long-term successes, the executives were able to bridge their differences, reconcile conflicting viewpoints, and then chart a strategic course that integrated elements of the old business model with the innovative strategies tailored to the new market. So the reason I use this analogy is the early church fathers were grappling with these issues. The initial believers were Jewish believers used to following the law of Moses, and then the Holy Spirit called them to reach out to the Gentiles. So now they needed a new approach. How do we bring in the Gentile believers? And this is an example where they had some of these discussions similar to this fictitious company, and they were able to come to consensus. And they did it through listening to each other and seeking God and seeking the Holy Spirit. So honestly, this is something that we can model too in our congregations and our churches, how we can relate to each other. And, and of course, all of us as sanctified believers, we certainly benefit from the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So that's great. That was conflict that we saw resolved, seemed to be resolved very successfully. Way to go. Hold on, we're not done yet. Now we're going to come back to Barnabas and Paul, and they're probably thinking, well, this is great. You know what? We raised the issue in Jerusalem. They came down. They resolved it, and they probably looked at each other, hey, Paul, hey, Barnabas, let's get back on the mission field, and let's continue what we're doing there. Yeah, you know what? That sounds great. And Barnabas probably said, hey, Paul, I want to take John Mark with us. Paul is like, no, we're not taking John Paul. He can't hack it. As soon as we ran into some persecution on the mission field, he was gone, And he's, no, really, I learned. Hey, listen, Barnabas, I know he's your relative, okay, but we need somebody who's going to be tried and true and stay with us on this journey. So just to, again, to contemporize this a little bit, another story I want to share with you. Think of, picture a nonprofit with two very strong leaders. Let's call them Sarah and Ed. And similar to Paul and Silas, they're doing some groundbreaking work. This nonprofit works in underprivileged communities, and they provide for a lot of needs there. And they've worked together for several years in building this organization, and they've really seen it grow. They've seen a lot of needs be met. So they come to a crossroads because Sarah is eager to launch a new initiative in a marginalized community that is in great need of the organization's services. And she believes the expansion will have a significant impact on to help fulfill the mission of the organization. Ed, on the other hand, is a little bit hesitant about this expansion because he's concerned about the resources and capacity and maybe some potential risks in doing this. So the disagreement escalated. And unfortunately, like a lot of disagreements, probably with Paul and Silas too, in the NIV it says they had a sharp agreement, the discussion got a little bit heated between Ed and Sarah. And so they found themselves at a crossroads. Both of them had a passion and vision for reaching the underprivileged communities, which is a good thing. They wanted to stay on mission, but it reached a point that they couldn't proceed together. So in the end, Sarah and Ed decided to part ways professionally, each pursuing their own path and leading separate projects aligned with their individual visions for the organization. They did part, they did decide, even after the heated arguments, to part on amicable terms. And, so in this division just exposes the complexity when you have strong leaders and they have to make joint decisions in navigating diverging perspectives and priorities. And so I use that story to highlight Paul and Barnabas because at the end, there's not a lot of detail provided at the end of Acts 15, but it said that they parted their ways. So Paul took Silas, who was still in Antioch, on a missionary journey, and then Barnabas took John Mark. Now, we don't hear about Barnabas directly again after this, in fact, but we do have the epistles of Paul to show what Paul's missionary journey looked like. By the way, remember the Twitter story, Jack Dorsey and Evan Williams? When they parted, they maintained a working relationship and a level of professional respect, and they continued to support each other even in the new ventures that they started. So even though the scripture in Acts really doesn't, we see a sharp agreement and then they go their separate ways, sometimes, and both Paul and Barnabas were fathers of the church. Paul was an apostle. Barnabas was certainly an elder. He may have even been mentoring Paul in some cases. And they were both filled with the Holy Spirit, both serving God. But unfortunately, they ran into a wall, and sometimes disagreements are just not resolvable between individuals, and it's better just part ways. And sometimes we may have to do the same thing in our own personal lives, but when we do so, what we should do is try to at least mend some of the fences so that we leave with the least amount of contention. So what are some of the lessons that we can see from this text for resolving conflict in our lives? Unfortunately, conflict is a natural part of relationships, but it can provide opportunities for us to grow and for our understanding. And so what conflict should do is it forces us to seek guidance from God, to seek guidance from the Holy Spirit, and approach conflicts with a spirit of humility, love, and reconciliation. And we can only do that by keeping our eyes on the Lord. And sometimes conflicts may still lead to a parting of ways. But it's important for all of us as believers, especially within the church, when we're talking about conflict within the church, to remain focused on the mission of spreading the gospel and serving the Lord, even when it comes to that point with a brother or sister that we have to part ways. we go to the next slide, Jake. So Paul and Barnabas, I want to return to this. So we finished Acts 15, verse 41, with them going on their own missionary journeys. So whatever happened to them? Well, there is scriptural evidence that they reconciled. The evidence that they reconciled actually comes from the writings of Paul himself. So in his letters to the churches, Paul mentions Barnabas several times, referring to him as a fellow worker in spreading the gospel. We can get this from 1 Corinthians 9 and from Colossians 4. Additionally, in Paul's letter to the Galatians, Paul mentions that Barnabas was with him in Antioch and Jerusalem, indicating that maybe they had even worked together again after their dispute. And the evidence suggests that Paul and Barnabas reconciled and continued to work together in ministry. So sometimes, even though there's a split for a while, if you split, you know, on good terms, even if you disagree on something specific, if you're both following the Lord, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit may bring you back together. You may or may not work together again, like Paul and Barnabas did, but we can certainly stay connected through the work. And so what I encourage each one of you to do is take a little bit of time later today, maybe this week, and think about maybe people in your past, especially within the church, your brothers and sisters in Christ, and maybe there wasn't a big disagreement, but you've fallen away a little bit. You've become a little bit disconnected. So what I want you to do, as you're thinking about that, maybe even pray about it, I encourage you, if someone comes to mind, check in on them. Send them a text or an email or something if you're, if you don't see them on a daily or weekly basis. Just see how they're doing. Stay in touch. Go to the next. Thank you. So reading these passages, I encourage you to consider four takeaways from this. So one takeaway, in times of disagreement, which do happen, seek to understand the perspective of others. Listen with an open heart and work towards a solution that promotes unity and understanding as much as possible. A second takeaway, when inevitably facing conflicts, strive to maintain a respectful and considerate attitude towards others, even though you may not see eye to eye. I encourage you to focus on finding solutions that honor God and promote harmony. A third takeaway, in moments of conflict, remember the importance of communication, forgiveness, and reconciliation. Let go, what this means is we have to let go of pride and ego. And I don't know about you, I have to admit I am addicted to ego, and even at my age, I'm still letting go of it. And it takes a conscious effort. And instead, just prioritize and maintaining peace and unity in your relationships. You probably heard it said before, and I remember hearing it, you know, I don't always have to be right. Finally, the last takeaway that I've highlighted here. Pray that the Holy Spirit works on all the hearts that are involved. Consider that the one that you're in sharp disagreement with is a brother and sister in Christ, and remember that the Holy Spirit speaks to you both. Go back to Matthew 18, you know, that the list of steps that Jesus gives us. You know, it starts off very personally, and if you can resolve it at the beginning, that's wonderful. And Pastor Chris gave some excellent examples about that. So one more analogy I want to give you as an analogy how conflict impacts our lives. I would like to consider a broken vase. That's kind of a Frankenstein-looking vase up there, isn't it? So it was broken, but it was mended and it can be glued back together. But let's face it, it still bears some scars, right? It bears some scars of being broken. And I will offer to you that, like broken vases, when conflict occurs, okay, that breaks us, once broken, it takes patience, humility, and forgiveness to put things back together. And there's just many things in life, as we've talked about, that shatter us. It's unavoidable. But maybe we can influence one of those areas in the way we relate to each other, and maybe we can lessen the breaking of each other. So as we conclude our series on conflict and reconciliation, I encourage you to consider Acts chapter 15. Look at what arose in the early church, how it was resolved, and then even towards the end, what appears to be a failure of coming to a resolution between Paul and Barnabas, how God worked that out. And I encourage us, when these things come up, to resolve conflicts in our lives and relationships with wisdom, grace, and humility. So as I was thinking about concluding this, and we are going to conclude it, there's a fine line between a long sermon and a hostage situation, I was telling Pastor Chris this morning. But here's something that maybe you've seen, and I know a lot of churches in our denomination have showed this. It's a great charter, I think, to live by as Christians in a broader context. So maybe you've seen this when we talk about doctrine or scriptures, you know, in essential beliefs, we have unity, in non-essentials, liberty, and then in all things, love. So in the essentials, unity. What are the essentials that we can agree to when we're in conflict? Let's extend it to that. When we look at Paul and Barnabas, they agreed to the importance of continuing the mission to the Gentiles. That mission to the Gentiles was the essential. In non-essential beliefs, liberty. So in the case of Paul and Barnabas, they came to a conflict that we read in Acts. They couldn't resolve it together. So they gave each other the liberty to go on missions their separate ways. And they departed, they let the other pursue their calling. And then finally, in all things, love. And I want to read this scripture bit below it because this is so important. If I hold in my mind not only all human knowledge, but also the very secrets of God, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but no love, I amount to nothing at all. That's from 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 2. So above all, Paul and Barnabas, seeking Jesus and led by the Holy Spirit, allowed love to reconcile them. So we're concluding these past 3 weeks in Matthew 18 and now from Acts 15 today on conflict. And may it help us, especially within the church, be peacemakers. We can be peacemakers in the church. We can seek to bring about reconciliation and harmony even in the midst of disagreements. Conflict is inevitable. It is going to happen even within the church. Let us trust in the Lord to guide us and empower us to be the agents of peace and unity, especially, you know, when we're trying to be an example of Christ to a world that's filled with so much division. In fact, I love that, I think, let's see, how many worship songs? 1, 2, 3, 4. I think it was third or fourth worship song we read. The last one talked about a fresh wind. And I love that song because when we pray to God, the Holy Spirit loves to come in and just wash things through. So Pastor Chris, can I say a closing prayer for us and then you'll come up and offer communion? So if you would bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are our God. Thank you that we live under the new covenant. that the Holy Spirit has done this work of revival within us. And even so, as we grow in sanctification, as we grow in our character, sometimes we still disagree, Father, even with our brothers and sisters. And I pray that when those things happen, that you would come in and you would just speak to both of us. And if it takes a matter of taking us in different directions, that you would help us to be at peace and love even when we do so. It's been such a privilege to be here with this congregation, and Father, and I just pray that the work you started here continue. And that this church would continue to be a light and a leader of reconciliation in this community. Amen. So I leave with you a catchphrase for this week. I encourage you to keep it with you. In all things, love. Pastor Chris.